Welcome to what is the last of our topics for Shmitas Karka before we switch over into Shmitas Ksavim. This is a very, very large topic that connects to a range of popular questions that come up in the course of relations between Jews who have different kinds of observance, questions that go way beyond Shemitah. May I invite Jews for a Shabbos dinner if they could walk, but they're likely to drive? Am I allowed to give Jews food if they may not recite a bracha on it or wash for bread? Am I allowed to publicize a Shabbos afternoon shiur if someone might drive to the shiur? May I give to a fundraising campaign for a non-observant religious Jewish organization in order to promote peaceful social relations? May I compliment the Jew on his lawn if I see him mowing the grass on Shabbos? All sorts of very practical questions come up, and a lot of it comes down to this, you know, chapter of Maseches Shviyos, chapter 5 in Shviyos is where you go if you want to know if you want to know the answer. It sort of reminds me, this is completely a field, but it hits me right now. When I was at YU and I was in Rav Tursky's shiur, I had a question that came up related to tochacha, the question of, you know, instructing somebody who's doing something that's wrong. And say he pulls me over to a Mishnah Brura, you know where it is, Hilchos Yom Kippur. Right, talking about the issue of Mutav Shiyu Shogigin and people who light down to the wire on Yom Kippur. And it's like, well, that's where Tochacha is going to be discussed, that little Mishnah Brura. So the same thing is true here. All this comes down to the fifth parak in Maseches Shviyos. And I suspect that the reason why it's anchored here in Shviyos is because here you have a mitzvah which saw big gaps between what Chaverim were doing and people who were very careful were doing, and then the Amei Haaretz and the people who were Chashudim, who were suspected of violating it. It's not only for Shviyos. You also find some discussion in the laws of Toma and Tahara, you know, same reason. So that's, I think, why you see it here. So what I want to do today is first to briefly outline the two major concerns that are involved when we intentionally or hopefully accidentally enable other people to sin, one being lifnei iver, the other being misayaya. We're going to skip certain other issues just in the interests of time. We're not going to talk about tochacha. We're not going to talk about al tischaber l'rasha, all sorts of other issues that are also involved. And we then look at the major theme of the parak in Shviyos, which is the theme of Talia, and the idea of working with other people or engaging with other people on the assumption that our deeds will not lead to an Aveira, even though they really could. Like inviting the person to the Shabbos meal on the assumption that they're going to walk. So we're going to go through the Mishnayos. We're going to use select parts of the Rishonim on those Mishnayos and address questions about how, when, and why you're able to rely on Talia. That's what I hope to do this week. That's my goal. Beyond that, I want to talk about questions like, does my intent matter if I cause somebody to sin unintentionally or incidentally? How much of a factor is the goal of increasing peace, Darchei Shalom, which we, features in our perek? How much of a factor is my personal benefit from the situation? What if they could get my, whatever it is that I'm providing, they could get that elsewhere, the Chadib or the Nara question? I don't know if we'll get to, it depends how patient Rav Sammy is about how much time we spend on this topic. I don't know if we'll get to Achzuke, the issue of encouraging people who are sinning. And I know we will not get to, likely, the issue of lifnei delifnei, although that it does feature in our perek, providing materials to people who will then turn around and provide them to someone who will misuse them. There's just so much that you can do with this topic. Okay, so our questions for today basically will come down to the following. I'm giving you the review questions in advance. Does lifnei iver apply to a mezid, someone who sins intentionally? Does misayaya, the issue of assisting people in sinning, apply if someone's doing it intentionally? Does lifnei iver apply for an iser derabanan, right? Getting somebody or enabling somebody to perform a derabanan. How about misayaya? Will that apply for a derabanan? May we rely on an unlikely talia, right? He could walk, but he lives 2 miles away. How likely is that? And does Taliyah work when Lifnei Iver is a De'oraisa? Can you be Tola, that Mishnah Rishona, which was in the Maror Makomos? Okay, so let's start with basic Lifnei Iver. I brought you the Pasuk because you really shouldn't start without the Pasuk, right? You always like that when the Rambam in his explanation of the mitzvah in the Perush Mishnah says, Omar Hashem, such and such. So that's what we're doing. Omar Hashem, source Aleph. Lo sikhalel cheresh v'lifnei iver lo sitein mechshol v'yareisa mi'alokecha ani Hashem. So the issue of klala for a cheresh is interesting in its own right, not our discussion right now. We're focusing on lifnei iver lo sitein mechshol, do not put a stumbling block before the blind. And on that, if you take a look at source base, you see the sifra. Someone is asking you for advice. Al titen lo etza she'ena hogenes lo. Don't give him advice that's not good for him. Al tomar lo tseba hashkamashi kapchuhu listim. Don't tell him, hey, go out early in the morning, knowing that that's going to expose him to harm from bandits. Tseba tzaharayim bishvil sheyishtarev. Don't tell him that he should go out in the afternoon, knowing that it's going to be bad for his trip because it's going to be very hot. So, if I pause with this, just the pasuk that says, don't put a stumbling block in front of the blind, and these examples that you see in the Medrash, which are, you know, don't give people advice that's going to have, practical fallout for them, then I'll ask you, based on these things, does Lifnei Iver apply if someone is planning on doing something that is bad for him? Knowingly. Whether practically bad or religiously bad. He's intending to do it anyway. So to put it in the Shemitah context, you have someone who's planning on working his field inappropriately during Shemitah or harvesting inappropriately during Shemitah. Is there any violation of Lifnei Iver if I get him the tools that he uses?
It would not seem so from the
Sifra. Yeah, it would not seem so at all. And I see a few head shakes that, that echo that. I would have said, no, this isn't involved at all. But then you look at the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos in Source Gimel. As he says, Amar Hashem, v'lifnei iver lo sitein mechshol. Hakavana bazeh, what this means is, and I bolded it, shemi she'ivra oso hataiva v'hadeos haros. If a person is blinded by desire, blinded by bad ideas, Al ta'azrehu al ivro, no, v'tosif lahas oso. Do not assist him in his blindness. Do not add to the leading him off of the path he should be walking. Ulefichach aser l'sayei ala avaryanim ba'asiyas ha'avero, so don't help people who are transgressing. V'lo ligrom l'mashiyavim l'kach, do not cause that which will enable this. Ela nase behefech. People don't focus on that enough, that last clause. Ela nasa behefech, just the opposite, do things to bring them back, is presumably the opposite of assisting them. That's the Rambam. And it's not just in the Perush HaMishnayos. It's in his Sefer HaMitzvos on the mitzvah of Lifnei Iver, lo sase reish tzadi tes. I brought it for you in Source Dala. Look at the part that I bolded. Misha yazor ala vera o yisavev osa. Anybody who assists in a sin or causes it to happen, kihu yavi ha'ish ha'hu she'ivra ta'avaso enes sichlo v'chazar iver v'yifateyu v'yazreyu la'hashlem averaso o yachan lo sibas ha'avera. You have somebody who, he likes that phrase, is blinded by his desire for it. You're not supposed to be helping him. And lest one think, well, okay, all well and good, but this isn't in Mishnah Torah. Of course it's in Mishnah Torah. Take a look at source. Hey, the Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeach Ushmiras HaNefesh talks about Lifnei Iver, and he says, the part that I bolded, Shechizek yidei ovrei avera shu iver ve'eno roa derech ha'emes mipnei ta'avas libo. The person who, because of his desire, is blind in that regard. Rav Nachum Rabinovich, Alav HaShalom, had an article in the 11th Chelek of Tchumen, where he brought many more places in the Rambam where you could see this in Mishneh Torah, Yisurei Bia, Hilchos Kilayim, Hilchos Nezirus, Hilchos Avil. This apparently is quite the theme in Mishneh Torah. We're going to come back to that article from Rav Rabinovich, not this week, but next week, because he has a fantastic take on Chadi Bar Dinara. I'll probably put it in the Maror Makomos. That I send out. Now, within this, right now, what we're saying is, lifnei iver prohibits doing something which will lead people to sin, even though they are sinning intentionally. I did want to note for you source Vav, and I'm just throwing it out there because Rav Moshe Feinstein threw it out there. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked the question of inviting people to Shabbos davening in shul when you know that they are going to drive there. That's the question he's addressing in source Vav. And he throws in something which I don't think anybody before him did. He says, if you look at the second line in source Vav, after the period, Veheshavti, I answered, Delahazminis harachokim ba'ofen she'efshu she'avo b'lo chilol Shabbos v'adei osur. Inviting people who are far away, I think far away tarti mashma, but inviting people who are far away to come to shul in a way that it has to involve chilol Shabbos, certainly osur. V'hu od garua me iser lifnei iver, it's worse than lifnei iver. Sherei who owed be iser mesis makes the person a mesis. Mesis, you are persuading people to sin. And then he says, well, I know that mesis, you know, comes with some pretty serious consequences. Va'af she iser mesis l'chi of skilahu, right? Who rock mesis la'ov la'avod avodas kochavim. He says, the idea of mesis leading to a death penalty, that's only mesis for avodah zara. Mikomakom le'inyan ha'iser va'onish klapei shmaya b'chol ha'chomer she'in tonin le'mesis yesh b'chol ha'iserim. He says the severity of mesis in general, just punished by Hashem, applies to all isurim. And he says, I'll prove it to you. Because look at the nachash. The nachash is the case of the mesis, the original case of a mesis. And there it wasn't avodah zara, it was eating from the tree. Now, you could actually argue for avodah zara there, midrashim do. Not the point. The point is that Rav Moshe is really building on what we've just said, right? Where Moshe says this, he's building on what we just said, meaning, once you tell me that lifnei iver is not about persuasion, then you almost need a new category that is for persuasion. So the answer is lifnei iver is, even if the guy needs no persuading, that's the mazid. And then, for the guy who does need persuading, that's mesis. That's what Rav Moshe has innovated in this. Okay. So that's in terms of mazid. We do say that lifnei iver will apply in terms of mazid. So that takes me to the second question that I outlined before of does lifnei iver apply if the whole isser they will be violating is derabanan? This is very relevant for our discussion, because, as we've discussed several times over the course of the year, according to most poskim, Shemitah in our day is derabanan. Right? We've noted those who disagree, but that's generally the mahalach that we take. So, if we are talking about providing tools for somebody to violate Shemitah, in our day, it's nisid derabanan. Is there any issue of lifnei iver at all? Make the argument, please. Tell me whether lifnei iver should apply to a derabanan or that it should not.
I think it's still at least it's a shen ogenes. Right? I mean, like, it's bad to violate derabanan.
Right.
And also, it can still be an iver in the sense that it's a little mitchell.
Right.
I don't see why.
So Rav Sami says, lifnei iver should apply to getting people to violate a derabanan. What's the difference between that and getting him to travel on the road at a time that it's hot outside? Right? Eitz Hashem Hogen Eslo. It's bad advice. Rucham, you were going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say along the same lines that, assuming that you hold this any validity whatsoever for getting a derabanan, that...
Which we do.
Right. So that
okay, I just want to add that. Right. So this comes up in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah is fascinating because it gets taken in two opposite ways depending on how you look at this issue. Take a look at Sur Zayin. This is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. It starts on Chaf Aleph on the base and then runs over onto the next Amud. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Lo Yaskir Adam Sadeu Lakuti. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, do not rent out your field to a Kuti. Kuti meaning in this discussion here, somebody who is Jewish. This whole discussion is predicated on the idea that he is a Jew. Mipnei Shenikres Al Shemo, Because the field is associated with you, and the kuti is going to do work there on Chol HaMoed, and everyone's going to think that it's your work. So therefore, do not rent out your field to somebody who's going to do work there inappropriately on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara asks on that, why is it about it being associated with you? Worry about the fact that you're enabling the kuti to violate Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says, Chada ve'od ka'amar. You're right. We got both concerns. Yes, we have a concern for Lifnei Iver and Mipnei Shenikres al Shemo, which makes a lot of sense, because if it's just Nikres al Shemo, it could have just as well been a non-Jew. Like, what does that have to do with being a Kuti? So on this, Tosfos writes in Source Ches, Umikan yesh lahavi raya lamashapirish rabbeinu tam, deshayach lamemar lifnei iver af midi deles beisura el derabanan. Tosva says, you see, lifnei iver applies even to a derabanan, because the hamalacha de chol hamoed eina asura el midirabanan kitipirish rabbeinu tam. He says the yisur malacha on chol hamoed is a derabanan. So says Tosfos on this Gemara. That's the position of Tosfos. If you jump down to Source Yud, I should have put it before this, but I didn't. I should have put it above Tess. So take a look at the Minchas Chinuch commenting on that, who deals with this issue of Lifnei Iver on Derabbanans. And he says the following. Nistapakti, it's in the Kometz HaMincha. Nistapakti im mocher lo davar ha'asir lo midrabbanan im obera Lifnei Iver del Raisa, da ha'mach shilei. Minchas Chinuch asks the question. He's not on our Gemara in Avodah Zarah, obviously. He just asks the question. You sell someone something that he's going to use to violate a derabanan. Is that a violation of Lifnei Iver de Oraisa? Because it is a michshol. And this goes back to Sammy's point. Vafilu eitzara em nosin lo overal Lifnei Iver. Any bad advice is a violation of Lifnei Iver. This is bad advice, as Reb Chaim said, assuming that derabanans should not be violated. O Dilma Kevin de Minatora hu mutter, or do I say, since this action is mutter mi de araisa, verak mi derabanan asur, lo avar mi de araisa, or do I say that no, since mi derabanan it's asur, you didn't violate a de araisa in doing so. And then he quotes you this Tosfos in Avodah Zarah. So, and he goes on with the line, v'chigara mi mach shel chavero bi isu derabanan mi masiyo etza shena ho genes lo mi li de alma, and so on. So the position of the Minchas Chinuch is that logically Lifnei Iver should apply biblically to a derabanan. I could throw out the idea of making a distinction here and saying, in the event that I mislead somebody into doing something which is usur midrabanan, if you're willing to put it in the category, let me say it differently. You could theorize two different categories of Lifnei Iver. There's Lifnei Iver when you give someone bad practical advice, and there's Lifnei Iver when you cause somebody to violate laws from the Torah. And you actually can make a distinction between the two. There's what to be said about this, and Lifnei Iver with a non-Jew, and which where it applies, where it doesn't apply. But just note that what you say about the justification for Lifnei Iver applying to a derabanan will determine which category this is in. Is it in the, well, that's bad advice, or is it in your violating part of the, you're causing him to violate the Torah? So that's just, I think, something worth recognizing. However, Ramban draws the opposite conclusion from this Gemara. Look at the Ramban in Source Tess. He says, "Umi de makshe v'tepuk le mishum lifnei iver b'malacha decholo shamoed." From the fact that the Gemara says, "Why isn't this lifnei iver if you're causing him to do malacha on chol hamoed or enabling him to do malacha on chol hamoed?" Mash malan mina de isura mide oraisa. What I learned from there is that malacha on chol hamoed must be a de oraisa. Di midrabanan hu mi ika lo siten mechshol. If it were a derabanan, then it wouldn't be a violation of Lifnei Iver. So the two Rishonim look at this Gemara in opposite ways. Rabbeinu Tam looks at this Gemara and says, you see, Lifnei Iver applies to derabanans. And Ramban says, looks at the same Gemara and he says, no. We see from here that Chol HaMoed is a de'oraisa. Apparently thinking that it won't be Lifnei Iver, even at all. If so. Very interesting. The Sfida Yesh, Rabbi Chiya Yaakov Weinberg, splits the difference. He says, Lifnei Iver on a derabanan is Lifnei Iver Mid Rabbanan. And he brings sources to prove it. I brought you, I think, I gotta flip the page. I brought you Source Yid Aleph, where he quotes you a Mishnah in Demai. And he only gives you a fragment of the Mishnah. But the Mishnah that he brings from Demai talks about the case in which somebody says he is going to be careful about Truma, Meiser, etc. He's gonna act like a Chaver. However, he personally eats with someone who is in Am Haaretz, eating the food of the Am Haaretz. So the question now is he credible when he gives you food and says, Truma and Meiser have been separated? That's the Mishnah in the second parak in Demai. And the Mishnah there says, I don't understand. Al atzmo eino naman, ketzer yehe naman al shalach erim. He's not credible in terms of what he eats. Why should he be credible about what he gives me to eat? That's the line in the Mishnah in Demai. So the Svidei Yesh looks at that and says, well, wait a minute. If Lifnei Iver is a De'oraisa, and what he's doing when he eats with the Am Haaretz is he's eating Demai, which is only Aser Midrabanan, then there's an answer to this Mishnah. Right? The fact that he's gonna be, that he's willing to violate a Derabanan by eating Demai doesn't mean he would violate a De'oraisa of giving me of giving me Demai. So therefore, he says, what you have to say is that it's only a Derabanan for him to give me Demai, because Demai is itself a Derabanan. So he argues that Lifnei Iver on a Derabanan is Lifnei Iver Derabanan. That's his argument. If you go back to my distinction between Lifnei Iver for bad practical advice and Lifnei Iver for bad religious advice, maybe you could argue that it's Lifnei Iver for bad practical advice, Mide Oraisa, and it's Lifnei Iver for bad religious advice, Mide Rabbanan. Maybe you could say that. Okay. But what we've established now is, number one, Lifnei Iver applies even though the guy was gonna do it, I don't wanna say was gonna do it anyway, cause that's, we have to come back to next week. But it applies even though the sinner is doing it intentionally, number one. And number two, it may even apply for an Issa Derabanan. Certainly that is the thought of Tosfos. And the Menchas Chinuch and the Svidei Yesh says it's so midrabanan, and therefore we do have this concern regarding Shemitah. Clear? We're good? Okay. So what about this thing called Misayeya? Misayeya, assisting somebody to sin. What is that about? It comes up in the Gemara in a variety of cases. The Gemara talks about not being involved, Bavuei Achsanta, in arranging for assets to be diverted from the standard order of Yerusha. It talks about enabling a loan with Ribbis, for those who learned Ribbis with us a few years back. So what exactly is it? So first of all, it tends to be, everyone seems to assume that it's a Derabanan. We're talking about something that is fundamentally a Derabanan. If you take a look at Source Yud Beis, this is always everybody's first stop in discussing Misayeya, where Tosfos says explicitly, he says, Lifnei Iver won't apply if somebody could have done the Avera without your help. That's a topic for next week. He's talking about the case in the beginning of Shabbos. You know, you put your hand into the Rishus and somebody takes something out and, you know, all of that. So he says, even if your assistance is not needed, and therefore Lifnei Iver is not violated, Mikomakom Isir Derabanan Miha Ika, Shechayev lahafrisho me'isser. There's still a derabanan because you have an obligation to keep people from sinning. And what he's saying is, if you provide assistance, then you are acting against your obligation to keep people from sinning. That's what we call misayeya. And like I said, people tend to assume it's derabanan. There is a Rambam, which I wonder about. The Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos in Trumos. If you take a look at Source Yud Gimel, look at his language. He says, Haklal etzlenu ein shliach ledvar avira. V'ha'oseh havera ba'atzmo hu shema nishnoso bezdin. Right? We have a rule. There's no such thing in most of the Torah as having a shaliach perform an avera. The person who does the avera is the avarian, not the person who sent them. V'hamaseyu umevi osali de michshol. If you mislead somebody, you bring them to michshol. Oshetzivahu al avera, or you instruct him to do the avera. Oshesio aleha be'eze siyua shehu. Or you helped him with any kind of assistance. Afilu b'dibur muat, even a little speech. Nenash bidei shamayim kifi erech masha'asa b'si'o o b'ho kishavas chaveiro. So Hashem will punish based on what the role was in the sin. Ve'eno mischayv shum onesh mikola onshim amurim b'Torah. There is none of those onshim that are conveyed to Beis Din are applicable. Aval over hu amasha omar Hashem v'lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. It's still called lifnei iver. If you cause the Avera, or Altasis Yad Chaim Rasha, if you were Misayaya. Doesn't it sound like Misayaya is a De'oraisa? No? It feels like it is. And he brings you the Pasuk of Altasis Yad Chaim Rasha. I don't know. Nonetheless, the Velt says Misayaya is Derabanan. If it's Derabanan, where does it come from? Derabanan of what? So the Mishnah Rishona in Source Yadalid says, based on the Rambam's language in Sefer HaMitzvos, where the Rambam talked about helping people to sin, the Iker Kra, meaning of Lifnei Iver, b'miyatso as here, that the Iker Kra of Lifnei Iver is talking about giving somebody bad advice. Ve'efsher de la saveva vera eno mideoraisa ala asmachta. The Mishnah Rishona says, so maybe where it's not giving advice, but it is doing things that contribute to somebody sinning, it's not deoraisa. It's asmachta. It's a derabanan. So he believes that misayaya, doing things that enable the avera, is fundamentally a derabanan of lifnei iver. Yes, Rav Sammy.
I think he's saying much more than that there. I think he's saying lifnei iver in terms of causing people to sin generally, like giving the coat to the nazir is derabanan.
Yes, I think you're right.
But not misayaya. Like, the whole thing is derabanan.
Yes, and we're going to come back to that. I mean, you know, because you've seen this Mishnah Rishona is one line out of that long Mishnah Rishona that was in the Maamar Makomos, where he argued that in Harami that it's a Derabanan. Yeah, no, we're coming back to this Mishnah Rishona.
All right.
So that's one take, that Misayeh is a function of Lifnei Iver. However, the Ritva says it's not about Lifnei Iver, it's about Arevus. If you take a look at the Ritva in the Gemara Avodah Zarah Vavamud Beis, in Source Tes Vav, and he quotes you from our Shemitah discussions. He says, Itavale beferish le'isura. If a person demands the Isser from you explicitly, Ne'id mishum v'lifnei iver leka, it's not lifnei iver. However, Akati, Ika, Isura b'milsa mishum miseyei de ovri avera kolshen u'garmen lo'lasos Isser laharbos be'isser. Anytime we trigger an avera, anytime we trigger an addition to an avera, that is Misayaya, and he quotes you from Gittin, our Mishnah from Shvius, Shein Misayin Yidei Yisrael B'Shvius, Afil Lomalem Hischazku Aser, even saying to him, good job, may it succeed, or something like that, which again, I hope we get to in this series of Shiurim, but I'm not so sure. V'lo od ela sha'anu chayavin limchos biyado. Further, we must protest, Dechol Yisrael Arevin Zelozeh. It's because of Arevus. This is the dark side of Arevus. Right? The light side of Arevus is, I can make Kiddush for you even though I already made Kiddush, right? The idea of the Rav, my Chiyuv is not fulfilled until your Chiyuv is fulfilled. That's the sunny side of Arevus. This is the dark side of Arevus, which is, if I do anything that moves your sin forward, that advances your Avera, that's my Avera as well. That's the Ritva's philosophy. And then a third approach to where Misayaya comes from is that it's about Tochacha. And you already saw an idea like this. We already read something like this before, but the Ran is the one who really formulates it here in Source Tezayin, when we talk about not extending a cup of wine to a Nazir. And without going into his whole context here, because it's not relevant for us right now, I want to show you, starting with the end of the line, Avol mikomako midrabanan mia asur shari mechuyav hula hafrisho me isur veheyach yisayaya yidei ovei avera. You have a duty of keeping people from sinning. How in the world could you help him sin? That doesn't make any sense. You have a mitzvah of tochacha. You should not be assisting people in sinning, and he calls that a derabanan. It's the it's an outgrowth of tochacha. So misayeya, generally assumed to be a derabanan, maybe from lifnei iver, maybe from arevus, maybe from tochacha. Go back to our question that we asked regarding lifnei iver. Will misayeya apply to somebody who's doing it bemezid? So there's a well-known shach on this point. The shach writes, and I brought it for you in source Yedzayin, Dekulei amamodim la'amordechai v'tosus perakama davodazara deba'ove kochavim omumar shari. The shach says, misayeya will not apply, frankly, even lifnei iver, but that's a whole other discussion, will not apply if you're dealing with a mumar. Well, the Dagul Meravava looks at this shach, and I brought it for you in source Yedches, and he says, why stop there? Havadei sheyisrael mumar afal pishachata yisrael hu. He says, of course, the guy who is a mumar, a person who has rejected mitzvos, is still a Jew. That statement is subject to disagreement, but that's his statement. There is a discussion about whether this person is considered to be fully Jewish, so to speak, for halachic terms. An example of that is the question of whether you're allowed to lend him money and charge interest on the loan, as one example. But he says, of course he's still Jewish. So why would, if I'm not allowed to cause a Jew to sin, assist a Jew to sin, I can't assist the mumar either. Avonira lafarish kavanas hashach. The Dagul Meravava says, I'm going to tell you what the shach meant. Da'av b'Yisrael ein mitzuvan lahafrisho ki im kishaover b'shogeg. He says the duty to keep somebody from sinning is only if he's doing it accidentally. When a minor is eating treif. That's when you have to stop him from doing it. Shakatan shogeghu, because the katan is doing it b'shogeg. Avol b'Yisrael sherot elabor b'mezid al eza avera. Afilo eino mumer gomer ein Yisrael acher mitzuva lahafrisho ledivrei hashach. But if you're talking about somebody who wants to do it, the shach is saying no. Then why did the shach use the word mumer? Why didn't he say mezid? Umezid denakad hashach humishum shah poskim b'mumer dibru. The only reason he said mumer is because the poskim he was channeling used the word mumer. Umumer mistama mezid hu. But, you know, you assume when a mumer does something, it's on purpose. And anyway, if a person is violating an Avera B'mezid, that makes him a mumar as far as this is concerned. So,
I think the opposite, it's basically the opposite of Tosos. Tosos says you have to be more careful with someone.
What do you mean?
Exactly, Tosos. Actually. Because Tosos says that you can't, because with the Iver, you can't give a mumar something that's not kosher. And that's provided that it's trained for the Dara. So it's actually exactly...
No, what Alex's point is that Tosfos says you're not allowed to give it, and he's saying you are allowed to.
Yeah, but Tosfos says, provided that it's trained for the Dara. That's what Tosfos and Rosari is talking about.
No, but here, the Dagul Meravava has not made any distinction between Treyivra and Chadivra.
The Dagul Meravava is in the Shach, who is there. I don't want to get the whole thing out. The Shach is answering a stira between two different Tosfos about whether...
Correct.
The Shach is answering that only applies to a mumar. It's based on the Tosos who's talking about a mumar.
Yes. No, that part is true. That part is true.
It's not against Tosos. It's built upon Tosos. Because Tosos and Avodah Zarah said...
As far as the responsibility to a mumar, right? It's not like with a Shach, see?
Right. If
you really don't have responsibility towards a mumar, Tosos can you have to be more cautious if you know the guy is going to...
I think he's saying Litna Iver applies to a mumar. If it's Litna Iver, yeah, you have to be more cautious. He's gonna sin. But if it's not Litna Iver, i.e. in a case where Litna Iver doesn't apply, then it sounds like it's okay from Tosos to feed the mumar something that's not kosher, even though you know he's going to eat it.
So,
if he can get it else.
I'm gonna pause this here. Not because it's uninteresting, but because there's a lot more that we have to still go through, and that's why I said I'm not planning on going into the Shach's application to Lifnei Iver. Some of it will come back, I think, next week when we talk about Chadivra D'Nara. But I saw an article, which I full disclosure, really disagreed with on a whole wealth of points, which is why I'm not mentioning the author. But the author did quote something interesting from Rav Nevensal, that Rav Nevensal gave a potential source for saying that it doesn't apply to Mezid. He quotes you a Perish Mishnayos. If you take a look at Source Yates, Yates is the Mishnah in Meister Sheni. It's talking about a case in which you bought Meister Sheni, and, well, see the case. Mashach Mimenu Meister Bishtayim. You did a Kinyan in the sense that you picked up the Meister Sheni that you are acquiring, and the price was supposed to be 2 units, 2 sela. Velo hispik lifdoso ad sha'amad besela. You didn't get to redeem the Meister Sheni until it dropped and was only worth 1 sela. So what do you do when you pay your price? It's only worth 1 sela. Why should you have to pay him 2 sela? So no sein lo sela mechulin, v'sela shel Meister Sheni shelo. So the answer is, you can pay for the Meister Sheni by giving a sela from chulin, because that's going to redeem it. And the other sela that you can pay from your own Meister Sheni. Im haya am ha'aretz. However, if the person who sold it to you was an am ha'aretz, then don't give him actual Meister Sheni, because he's going to misuse it. However, nosin lo mitamai, you can give him the other sela as demai. Why aren't you worried about him misusing the demai? So look at what the Rambam writes in Source Chaf. Why? Because am ha'aretz do worse things all the time than using demai. He uses demai all the time anyway. If you walked into his house, you'd find demai all over the place. He doesn't separate meiser. So what's the difference? So there are all sorts of implications for this Rambam, which are fascinating. You know, I asked a shaila when I was in Smicha. Tzvi Ram and I used to rotate laning for a very small Orthodox shul. It was a splinter. It had broken away from a conservative one. There were 13 families in it, and we used to sleep in the shul on Shabbos, and we would lane there. And the question came up. The way they did it was they would have a nice cholent after davening, Shabbos morning, and then daven mincha as early as possible, and then people would go home, and we would daven mariv after Shabbos was over, giving people time to drive back. That was the setup. And then the question was, can we set up a shir before Mariv, but it's going to be on Shabbos? So one of the arguments involved, which I then later saw comes up in medical halacha sfarim as well regarding chilul Shabbos for chole, was, well, even if they're at home, there are plenty of opportunities for chilul Shabbos at home, fitting in a little bit with this idea in the Rambam in Meister Sheni. So it's an interesting factor to consider, but the point is that Rav Nevensal brings this and says, see that? Apparently there's no issue of michshol if you're talking about about the Am Ha'aretz. The Tzitz Eliezer, Eliezer Waldenberg, has an article in Tchumen, in Chelek Yud Beis, in which he also brings a source for this idea. It's a Turei Evan in Chagiga Yud Gimel Amad Aleph, Dibur Maschil, Kolkach. But I didn't bring it on here. Okay. But that's one. It appears Misayaya does not apply to a Mezid. Lifnei Iver does, Misayaya does not. Other question, what about Misayaya for a Dirabanan? So there's a big piece in the Stechema that everybody likes to quote on this, but I just wanted to show you a couple of sources so that we could actually get to the Rishalmi today. The one is a Rashi in Gittin on a Machlokes Abaye in Rava. If you take a look at source Chaf Aleph, they bring you one of our Mishnayos from our Perek as a Mishnah in Gittin when they're discussing Darkei Shalom. So the Mishnah there says, Mash'elas isha l'chaber t'hachashuda ala shviyas nafu kvar v'chaim v'tanur. A woman is allowed to lend to another woman who is suspected of violating Shemitah various kitchen equipment, sifters and so on, that could be used for inappropriate Shemitah produce. But she should not sift with her. She should not grind with her. A chaver, chaver's wife, chavera, is able to lend out, again, kitchen equipment to Eishes Ama'aretz. The uborerus v'tochenes m'raketes ima, and she is able to work with her. asks the Gemara, why is it that in the Reisha you said, don't work with her? And in the Sefer you said, you are able to. What's the difference? So Abaye says, because the first one is talking about Shvita, and the second one is talking about Meiser. So Amar Abaye, Rob Amei Haaretz Ma'aser in Hain. He says, most Amei Haaretz do separate Meiser, and therefore it's, and therefore you're okay here. The, whereas Rava says, Hacha Ba'ama Aretz Rabbi Meir V'tumah V'tahara D'Rabbanan. He gives you an entirely different answer. He says, here we're talking about the Ama Aretz defined by Rabbi Meir, which the Gemara goes on to say is, anybody who doesn't eat chulin b'tahara is considered an Amha Aretz. That's a pretty high level. The that's what we're talking about. And we're dealing with rabbinic tumah and tahara. So on this, Rashi says, in source Chav Beis, Rov Amei Haaretz Ma'asrin Hein, Abaye's position, Hilka Chashasha Dirabanan Be'almahi. He says, therefore, the whole thing's only a Dirabanan. It's Demai that we're talking about. Since most of them tithe, this is only a Dirabanan. Umibnei Darkei Shalom Mutar L'Sayan, and Darkei Shalom will enable us to actually assist them in the kitchen. Aval Chashuda L'Shvi'is Mashma D'Muchzak Lan Basha Chashuda. Whereas the second case is somebody who's actually suspected of wrongdoing. So, according to Rashi's read, Abaye believes cooperation is allowed if you're dealing with a derabanan, whereas Rava Amar, Lola Mechza, Kemechza Mechza, Mesabkina Lehu Va'asir Lesayan, we treat it as 50-50, and you're not allowed to help because the Avera is de'oraisa. Implying, if the Avera were derabanan, you would be allowed to assist. So, therefore, Rashi seems to say that Rava believes Misayaya is okay on a Dirabanan, and of course, Machlokas Abayiva Rava, we're gonna follow Rava other than Yaal Kigam. So that's one source. Another source on this, and the last one I'm gonna bring on this issue, is the Rambam in Hilchos Meiser. Talks about a doctor assisting a patient. It's not a Sakana case, not a danger case. The Rambam writes, Rofei Chaver Shayamachil Lachola Amaretz Miperos Amaretz. You have a doctor who's a Chaver, feeding an Am Haaretz, who is his patient, produce that the Am Haaretz owns. So he says, Nosin l'soch yado, you can put it in his hand, abalo b'soch piv, but you should not put it into his mouth. V'mhaya demai shel rofe, and if the demai belongs to the doctor, then don't give it to him at all. Afil l'soch yado lo yitein. V'chedim yadashu tevel vadai, and the same thing is true if he knows that it is tevel, afil l'soch yado aser, that you're not allowed to give it at all. So the Rambam permits you to give the Am Haaretz his own demai to eat. Why? It's a double derabanan. It's misayeya, and it's demai. So misayeya for a derabanan seems to be okay. I actually wasn't clear on why this isn't lifnei either. But I don't want to sidetrack things. There's the prima gadim. Also, on the classic question of giving bread to someone who won't wash. So the prima gadim on the Magen Avram in Kuf Samach Gimel says, yeah, I don't see why a Meseya for Drabanan should be Usser. So, okay. We've now introduced Lifni Iver and Meseya and its relationship with certain key questions that we have in our Perek here in Perek Hay in Shvius. We good? Okay? All right, we still have 17 minutes. Let us use them. Yeah, we're Sammy.
There's one quick question. I was wondering, going back to the question of Misayeya, that Shah, based on the rationales we gave for what the problem Misayeya is, i.e. Arvus or Lifnei Iver or
Tochacha,
why wouldn't it apply to Amazing? Meaning, you don't want to have Arvus with somebody with unless you're going to say that out, right?
Unless you want to just say lo gazru.
You're saying it's a derabundant of those things? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, it is a derabundant of those things.
But Cain is not Cain's or Isis.
Yeah. Sorry, Rav Alex, what?
Is there amazing when we say it's like a mumor, it's not Amisecha, then you don't have a few of them?
So no one says that. We say there is a chiyuv tochacha by a mezid.
Well, it's not just the mumar.
Right, mumar and mezid have to be distinguished at this point.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So this brings us to Tliya, and finally our sugya. So the concept of Talia, which I outlined in the beginning just to rehash, is that I am allowed to engage in an activity if I believe in Talia. I am allowed to engage in an activity which could enable somebody else to sin if I have reason to believe it will not lead to sin. Meaning, there is uncertainty about the other party's intentions regarding the whatever the item is. I can provide him an item which he could use for mutter, could use for aser, and I don't know what his intention is. Or I have uncertainty about the potential prohibited nature of whatever items he's working with. So, for example, I'm going to give him a sifter to use. I don't know if his produce is ishmita. I don't know if it's mufker or mashumer. I don't know what his status of his produce is. Or there's uncertainty about the potential prohibited uses of whatever I am providing. I'm giving him kalim. That could be used one way, could be used another way. A cow, it could be used one way, could be used a different way. All three of those talios, uncertainty about his intentions, uncertainty about his property, uncertainty about the potential uses of what I am providing, are featured in our perek, in one way or another. So let's start the Mishnayos. If you take a look at source Chaf Dalet, I grouped all of them together, even though we're going to take them one by one. So Mishnah Shviyas Perek Hey. You will note that the numbers are not going to correspond between the Mishnayos and the Yerushalmi because the Yerushalmi groups together a lot of Mishnayos, and therefore the beginning ones are Mishnah Gimel in the Yerushalmi, and the latter ones are Mishnah Dalet in the Yerushalmi, and so it goes. So Perek Hey Mishnah Vav. Elu kelim she'en ha'uman rashe lemochrim b'shviyas. An uman is not allowed to sell these kelim in Shemitah. Machresha v'chol keleha, the plow and all of its kelim. The ha'ol ha'mizra v'hadeker, the yoke, the winnowing thing, the whatever that is exactly, and the deker, which is also a winnowing thing, or it's some kind of a pitchfork. The Pnei Moshe reads this line as the plow, and then the rest of the line are the kelim. In other words, Mechareish v'chol keleha, colon, ol mizra deker. However, the simple read of the line seems not to be that way. The simple read of the line, the intuitive read, is Mechareish v'chol keleha, as well as ol mizra and deker, because I don't even understand what a mizra would be as a kli of a plow. It's a completely different thing. You use it at a different part of the operation. So I wouldn't read it the way the Pnei Moshe read it. Aval mocher hu magal yad, u magal katsir, v'agala v'chol keleha. Those things you can't sell in Shemitah. However, you are able to sell a sickle, a scythe, a wagon. Those things you could sell. Zeh haklal, here's the rule. Kol shemalachtom yuchedes la'avera asur le'isur leheter mutter. If the malacha that this is used for is always something you're not allowed to do in Shemitah, you can't provide it. Plows are for plowing. Can't provide it. Whereas, if it's for prohibited and permitted purposes, then it's going to be mutter. Clear? Now, obviously this raises a whole bunch of questions. Maybe he's buying the plow now because they're on sale during Shemitah and he's going to use it next year. Understood, but that's this Mishnah. Take a look at the Yerushalmi that I brought you in Source Chav Hey on this Mishnah, which makes an interesting point that really is worthy of much bigger discussion, whether we'll get to do so or not. The idea of Talia has just been introduced. Right? We just said, if I have a kli that could be used for Isser and could be used for Heter, I could be tole that the guy's going to use it for Heter. Right? So Rabbi Yonah says, what about people? Amar Rabbi Yonah, Keni Masnisa, Elu Kelim She'enu Man Rashi Lemochem B'Shviyas L'Chashud Al HaShviyas. Our Mishnah says that here are the kelim that you're not allowed to sell to a chashud. Notice our Mishnah didn't say the word chashud, but Rabbi Yonah just kind of put that in there. Fine. Staman mahu. What about selling it to somebody who is stam? He's assuming our Mishnah was talking about a chashud, and so he asks, what about selling it to a person who is of unknown character? Umimadetani li iser leheter mutter. You're telling me I can be tola regarding the kli, that if the kli is usable for iser or heter, I'm allowed to sell it? So the same thing is true for people. Hada amra staman mutter. You could be tola with people, not only with kalim, and therefore, you could say, if the guy is a stam person, I don't need to worry. Now, we have to deal later with the in-between person. Meaning, you have a stam person I don't know anything about. You have the chashud, who I think I know something about. What about the am ha'aretz, who in general would be considered somebody who's not trustworthy, but I don't know him to be violating Shemitah. He's not a chashud. So we may get back to that. not today, but we may get back to that in general. Go back to the Mishnah. Mishnah Zion. What we got from the first one is Taliyah as a concept for Kalim as well as people. Mishnah Zion. Hayotzer mocher chamesh kadei shemen v'chamisha aser kadei yayin. You make barrels. You're allowed to sell 5 oil barrels to someone who needs to put oil in them. You're allowed to sell 15 wine barrels. Shekein darko lahavi min ha-hefker. Because that is his way to bring that from Hefker. So Rav Sammy is thinking back to Shiurim on harvesting. And we have to now discuss what exactly that line means. What does that mean? This is the amount that they normally bring from Hefker. So here we have a machlokes between, on the one hand, most Mefarshim and the Rambam. The Rash and most Mefarshim say this is a Taliyah issue. That's what we're doing here. And it's the Taliyah of what is the pedigree of the produce this guy is bringing. So I brought it for you, I think, on the sheet in Source Chavav. I brought it on the next line, so I'll say it, I'll hold the Rash himself. But what the Rash says is that the Mishnah is saying you're allowed to sell him up to 5 oil jugs, up to 15 wine jugs, because that's an amount that people normally bring from Hefker, and therefore your Taliyah is good. The Taliyah is good. If we brought more, then I might have thought to prohibit, because I'll say you've lost your Taliyah, and go back to the line in the Mishnah, v'mhevi yosim ikan mutter. If he brings more, it's still okay. Even though the Taliyah is now pretty weak. And now go to the Rash in Source Chavav, v'mhevi yosim k'shir zemutter, v'lo chayshina dilma min hamashumer dishvias. We don't worry that maybe what he brought is not hefker at all, but stuff that was guarded, and he's working with the assumption that mashumer is prohibited, which is its own discussion of whether something that was inappropriately guarded is now usser. His assumption is yes, it's usser. That's one take on the Mishnah. The Rambam, though, thinks this is not a Taliyah issue at all. That's not what this is. If you take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, Dalet Chav Dalet, we spent enough time on that Rambam, in Source Chav Zayin, the part that I bolded, V'yesh lo lahavi l'soch beiso ma'at, k'derech shemevi'en min ha-hefker. The farmer should only bring a little bit into his house, like is brought from Hefker, chamesh kadei shemen, chamesh atzar kadei yayin, v'mhevi yeser mizem mutter, but if he brings more, it's okay. In other words, we're not talking at all about an iser for Meshomer. We're not talking at all about Taliyah. What we're saying is, you are allowed to sell somebody up to 5, up to 15, because that's the maximum they are allowed to harvest from Hefker. Why is it the maximum? So you know, the Chazon Ish says, the appearance of Schora. Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, V'achlu av yonei amecha. That's not where we're going right now. Go back to our harvesting shiurim for a discussion of that. But either way, whether you read it as a Taliyah discussion like the Rash, who says, up to 5, up to 15, we can assume safely that it's fine, and even beyond that, we're willing to be lenient. Or the Rambam, who says it's not Taliyah. What it's saying is, up to 5 and 15 is what he's allowed to bring. But if he brings more, you're still allowed to sell the stuff to him. Either way, bringing what we're talking about is an issue of helping somebody to violate the law. Right? The only question is, which law is it? But it's ultimately about helping somebody to violate an Isser. And the Mishnah says, if he brings more than that, which, again, either is bad for our Taliyah or is something that is just outright Usser, Mutter, you're still allowed to sell him the barrels. The Pnei Moshe has two different explanations for what that means. His second one is odd, and nobody else says it, that if the potter accidentally brought more barrels to sell, he's allowed to sell them. That's just strange. Most Mefarshim and the Pnei Moshe himself in his first approach say that is not what we're saying here. It's if the buyer brings more produce. And once again, this breaks down between the Rambam and everybody else. The Rambam is saying it's not a Taliyah issue. It has nothing to do with suspicion. It's simply saying that if he brought more, that produce is mutter. Whereas the Rash, the Bar Tanura, the Tosfos Yom Tov, the Farsi Yisrael, no, they say this is a Taliyah issue, and what we're saying is, you can assume he's still bringing from Hefker, even though that's not normal. That's the way they take it. The Haggah on the Tiferes Yisrael says, this must not be a Chashud buyer. Because then, if that were true, then in a case of someone who's not a chashid, you could sell more jugs. So he says, this has to not be that. This is actually a good guy who's doing the buying, and you're being told that. The Mishnah then continues, and it says, back in Mishnah Zion still, Umocher la'ove lo'ovde kochavim ba'aretz, uli Yisrael b'chutz la'aretz. You're allowed to sell to an Akum in Israel and a Yisrael outside of Israel. And what we're talking about is selling more than the 5, more than the 15. And this is, again, a Taliya issue. What is the Taliya issue here? Machlokes. The Rosh says, if you take a look at source Chav Ches, Uli Yisrael b'chutz la'aretz, V'lo chayshinan shema yolichim ba'aretz. It's a Taliya issue. I assume that when I sell the Jew in chutz la'aretz, more than 5 or more than 15, he's not bringing them to Israel to inappropriately, take care of Meshumer stuff. He's doing it outside. That's the position of the Rosh. The Mashmashu wrote Salomar Afa Pisha Kones Boharbim Yayim Bashem and Shehavi Meretz Yisrael. And even if he's gonna put in stuff from Eretz Yisrael. Whereas the Gra says that's not what we're talking about. It's not a Taliyah about his produce, about future selling in Israel. He says, Umocher lenachri af baretz, uli Yisrael b'chutz la'aretz davka. His concern is that that it's only in chutz la'aretz, and if he's going to bring them back to Israel, we have a problem. So he has a different Taliyah understanding here. It's 11:26. I think we can finish the Mishnayos here. And then at least we'll be able to move from there into Taliyah next week. If you take a look back at Mishnah Ches, Beis Shammai says, I'm going to say it quickly outside of the Mishnah, just because of time. But Beis Shammai says, you can sell somebody a cow that is a plowing cow in Shemitah. You're not allowed to, excuse me. Beis Shammai says, don't do that. And he's not willing to be tola. And Beis Hillel is matim neshu yachol shochta, because he doesn't have to plow with it. He could shecht it. And that leads you in the Gemara to the whole discussion, completely different, about sale of things and tzliya within sales and knowing what the buyer wanted. Mocher lo peros, afilu b'shas hazera, you're allowed to sell him produce, even during planting season. You don't have to worry he's going to use it to plant it. Another tliya, mashal sa'aso, you can lend him your measuring cup. The apishu there sheishlo goren, even though you know that he has a granary and he might be using it for shemitah produce. Upare lamos, you can change money for him, even though you know he has field workers. V'chulan befevrush asurin, but in all of these cases, if he says he's using it for an iser, all bets are off. All of these things are only fine because of tliya. I'm not getting into the last Mishnah right now about the woman that we saw in Gittin before. I'm not doing that right now. So the Tzitz Eliezer tells us something important about how this works. If you take a look at source Lamed, this is Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg in that article that I mentioned to you from Tchumen. He says, Afim Yeshrak Safik Bedavar in source Lamed, De'ulai lo yavdu beguf dvar ha'ishtatfus, ela rak bedavar shemichutz ledavar ha'ishtatfus. He's talking about an issue of joining in a cooperative to run boats on Shabbos. This was a big issue in Israel at the time. Rav Uziela something on it. So in terms of the partnership that they're making with the boats and the concern from Isaiah, you are assisting them in wrongdoing. Just jump to what I bolded. Ukmoshem var betuv tam bachne chaim sham b'simen mem hey she'iser Isaiah yidei ovei avera hu davka al vaday. In the betach hu yaseh avera. The issue of misayaya is only if you know that he's going to do something wrong. In the event that he is, that there's a taliya, then you can get out of misayaya the same way we said you can get out of lifnei iver. Now, how far you can go in a taliya is the big question. So I see that it's 11:29. So we're not going to go very far in Taliyah at all, but I will show you this one line in Source Lamed Aleph. Source Lamed Aleph is talking about enabling somebody else to sin in a way we'll revisit next time, but just show you what Rav Ashi said, the end of the second line. Amar Rav Ashi kol hecha de'ika lemisla talinan. In any case where you can be tola, are you any idea you can come up with to say, well, maybe it'll be used this way? That works. You can go as far as you want, he seems to say. But what we're going to see, based on the Mishnayos we've already seen and the Yerushalmi we've already seen, is that it's not true. There are limitations on Taliyah, and that matters for all the cases that we've discussed. So hopefully what we got so far, at any rate, from the questions that we outlined in the beginning is still something of substance in terms of defining Lifnei Iver as applying to a Mezid. Misayeya not applying to a Mezid, it appears. Lifnei Iver applying for a Derabanan, whether it's as a Deoraisa or a Derabanan, other than that Ramban, which maybe doesn't think so. And Misayeya not applying to a Derabanan. We still have to get to unlikely Tlios, that Tlio work when Lifnei Iver is Deoraisa, and all these other fun topics. We may need 3 shiurim for this. We'll have to see. All right. Shkoyach, everybody. Thank you very much. Have a good Shabbos.